All right. We've been sharing with you biblical history here, folks. It's being made under our noses. Very few know it. We're leading right up to the tribulation. The things that are happening in Revelation 12 are happening now. And they're happening around the world. Pray for God's elect around the world. They're being persecuted. They're being tested. The bride's being chosen, etc., etc. Now, I have a revelation here for you that is a part of this repeat of history. And we called it Coyotes in Darkness. And it was given to Trish Conway on the 24th of this month. She said, I was in a house with some people. The house was on a hill, which we believe is Zion. And we were looking out through windows into a deep valley. The difference is those who live in heavenly places in Christ and those who live in the lowest of earthly places in the evil one. That is this deep valley. There was a small, shallow stream running through it. Now, we know God's Word is a river of living water, but there are small streams of it in even the remotest, lowest places for people to have access to His Word and come up out of their low places, right? This small, shallow stream. And I believe that this is in earthly places. There is a little washing of the water with the Word for the wicked who want to come out of it, right? However, there are many who fight against it there. There are many who do not permit it there. There are those who persecute those who want to better themselves there. She said, at the stream I saw two dogs. Behind one of the dogs I could see a group of coyotes chasing it. Well, notice that the dogs here are domesticated and were at the small stream, representing a small amount of the Word. While the wild dogs, or coyotes, who know not the Master's voice and do not submit to Him, are angry with them and turning rabidly upon any who have conscience of the Word, clearly identifies the factious people. They refuse to have it in their midst. I had people who had gone to meetings of the factious and said, no, we don't study the Word. We do not. We just sing songs and eat food. Had two of them tell me that went to one locally. Yeah. Amazing how you can justify such things, you know. Then as I looked slightly up, excuse me, and to the left on a small hill, there was another group of coyotes. And to the right on a smaller hill, there was another group of coyotes. Three groups in all, which we know there to be. They're really loose because they don't really get along together. In each group, there were 10 to 15 coyotes. Approximately 30 to 50 in total. In each of these groups, there were black coyotes, that is, those who are totally in darkness and sin, and off-white beige coyotes, those that are unclean but not reprobated, let's say. I looked at the dogs, and one had long hair, which means more submissive, 1 Corinthians 11. And the other had short hair, which means less submissive. And it was like a pit bull. My first reaction was to get help, to go help them and get away, help them to get away from the coyotes, which I believe was my own works. I did not know if the short-haired dog was a friendly house dog or not. The coyotes were on its tail. I did not know if he was part of the group of coyotes or not. I knew I had to let go of trying to help the dogs. Then I saw the dogs come through the door to their owner. The owner was checking the short-haired dog's backside and found no bite marks. The dog was all right. Those at the stream will hear their master's voice and come out from among them, unscathed and wiser for their trouble. The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. First a crack in the dam and then a deluge. This is the second time we have heard of this too from the Lord. She said, I went to get a large handheld spotlight, but realized it would take too long, and grabbed a flashlight to shine on the coyotes to expose them. Very interesting. That's exactly what the Lord's been telling us to do. And that should put them on the run if they had any sense. They are afraid of the light, which is why they lie so much. You know, John 3:19 says, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For every one that doth evil hateth the light and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God. Amen. You don't have to hide out and do good. You have to hide out and do evil. And that's what's happening. As I was writing this dream, I asked for a word about the dream and received Isaiah 54:12. And I believe 11-17 applies. Well, this is a story about Zion being crucified by the wicked, but overcoming to be the glorious bride that she is, and to have many children, and to judge or shine the light on the wicked. Isaiah 54:11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will set thy stones in fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy pinnacles of rubies, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy border of precious stones. Oh, hallelujah! And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. And whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of coals, and bringeth forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. You know, God is creating a weapon for his work. And he is using wicked vessels. And it was the same with Jesus. It was the same with Joseph. It was the same with David. It was throughout history he's done this. And he goes on to say, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. The Lord will do that. He will use the righteous. He will condemn the works of the wicked. Just like every prophet in the scriptures did, and David, and Joseph, and the man-child types, they all did this, and Moses, they all did this, and they were all opposed by the majority of God's people. Can you imagine? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. So, anyway, Michael Hare and myself asked the Lord again if I was to share the light, or shine the light of, on the wicked factious, just as Paul and John did, and when they named them and their evil works. And we received of the Lord 4 times in a row, yes. 1 Timothy 1:20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme, which means to rail and slander against the brethren, and or the Lord, either way. And 2 Timothy 4 and 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord will render to him according to his works. Now, you would say, some people would say, that's hate speech. Oh, no. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord will render to him according to his works. 3 John 1 and 9 says, I wrote somewhat unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, of course, anyone who speaks up in the church and rebels against the elders, any Absalom rebellion or Korah rebellion is like this. These are people who want preeminence. They usually were raised with rejection, and they're trying to find acceptance and respect and so on and so forth. So, but the Lord causes them to be so corrupt that they're easily seen by the righteous. Those that have ulterior motives will be captured by them. Those who have idols will be captured by them. Those who have Jezebel spirits will be captured by them. Those who give in to rejection will be captured by them. The church will be cleansed. Well, anyway, Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Therefore, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works, which he doeth, prating against us with wicked words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and them that would he forbiddeth and casteth them out of the church. Well, that was obviously a good church to be out of, right? Praise God. Beloved, imitate not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now I'm going to point out to you evil today, just like these brethren did, just like these apostles did. So the Lord told me that he wanted me to shine the light on Michael Yeager's crimes, just as he told me to do for Paul. And I did that on the 22nd. I'm doing this one on the 29th. I'm doing both of them at the command of the Lord with confirmations and other brethren's agreement. So Michael and I asked for two heads if he would confirm this was what he wanted, and we got a yes, or two yeses. When we asked if he would protect us if we did this, and got two heads for yes. These were confirmations. We already had the Lord speak to us, and we just wanted a confirmation to give to you. Now, Trish adds a note in here in my notes, and she said, after reading about what God showed Michael and David about shining a light on the factious, I asked for a word and received a confirmation from the Lord and got Luke 1 and 6 with my finger on the word righteous. So here's what it says. Luke 1 and 6. And they were both righteous before God. She was asking about Michael and David. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So, we're being very careful to obey our Father and not get out ahead of Him. He has told us to do this. He's told us there's going to be results. That is from Him. So, we're obeying our Father and shining the light on evil. When I was awaking on the 26th for a prayer meeting, and I was thinking on these things that the Lord had showed us about shining this light, God gave me a clear command to speak His judgment on the apostate. It, quote, that her time, that is meaning of judgment, may come. That her time may come. He was saying that I should do this so that her time of judgment would come. Ezekiel 22 and 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, And thou, son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Now, you're not going to believe this, but we got two other words giving in our morning meeting about judging the bloody city. So what is this bloody city? It's those who are guilty of the blood of the saints. When a person deceives you for his own self-ego, to make a disciple, and to turn people against righteous elders, their blood is on his hands. He goes on to say, then cause her to know all her abominations. Now, of course, we don't have time for that today, but we do have time for a little bit. And thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, a city that sheddeth blood in the midst of her, that her time may come, that maketh idols against herself to defile her. Yes, they have many loves, but God is not one of them. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and art defiled in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. In other words, they have come to the end of their years. Judgment is now awaiting. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the nations. That's on its way. All those who have mocked and hated the truth, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And a mocking to all the countries. The Lord will do this. Men think they have power to deceive and to do what they want. They think might makes right. But there is one that is very gracious and very long-suffering. But when his long-suffering comes to an end, he judges. Verse 5, those that are near and those that are far from thee shall mock thee. Talking about these evil people. These that have the blood on their hands. Thou infamous one and full of tumult. Yep, there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. They're always frothing at the mouth. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one according to his power, have been in thee to shed blood. Yep, the factious leaders have shed much blood, and it's going to cost them their life. In thee have they set light by father and mother, and they have certainly done that in the spirit. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the sojourner. Yes, it was. There is no giving grace to people. It's pressuring people. One of them called a family day and night for months, hounding them to just come and eat with supper with them and hear them out and so on and so forth. Of course, the people knew what they wanted. They asked them to quit, and they wouldn't quit. That's breaking federal law. In thee have they wronged the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised my holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In other words, they won't cease from their own works. Slanderous men have been in thee to shed blood. And that's what slander does. It sheds blood. It causes other people to fall away. And of course, fall away to these factious demons and witchcraft demons and Jezebel demons, etc., etc. And in thee they have eaten upon the mountains. This speaks of pride, arrogance, lifting up of self, etc. In the midst of thee they have committed lewdness. These wicked people have destroyed the lives of many and are guilty of their blood, for which God says judgment has come. He said, thou hast caused thy days to draw near and art come even unto thy years. All right. Now, you remember back on the 22nd, I shared what God told me to share about Paul Rymel being a crime boss, a dream about the law coming to UBM Brethren to collect evidence of his law breaking. And I believe it's both spiritual and physical. I'm talking about the law. It can be the law of God or the law of man. And I believe in this case it was both. So that was pretty unusual. This person who had this dream did not know what I know. And I can tell you that this was so dead on. And this is, of course, by Bill Steenland, this particular dream. And, you know, Bill pointed out that they had come to him to gather evidence against Paul as a crime boss. And so he was collecting evidence, etc., etc. So I'm going to take up from there because we had actually three dreams that confirmed this. And the officers were saying that for 2 years he had been in error and they were out to take him down, as they did Pablo Escobar, or Paul Escobar, who killed many people with his drugs, mind-altering drugs. Right? The parable was there, very clear. And so I shared a vision that I had, too, of a young lady whose house her estranged father was using while she was gone to try to entrap me. And when she returned too quickly, who I believe this young lady was the bride, and when she returned too quickly and found me there and asked me what was going on, I told them, and she said that that was her father who was seeking to entrap me, but she did not permit crime in her house, and that she would report him to the authorities. All right, so, wow. I mean, it's mounting up. The same word is mounting up. Now, here's one you haven't heard. Hung by the tongue. The crime boss is hung by the tongue. And literally, his own mouth is destroying him. And Deborah Horton received this on the 25th of this month, of October. And amazingly, Deborah had been out of town and had not heard the dream about Pablo Escobar and the crime family of Paul. She had been out of town and she didn't hear that. She didn't know about that. And that's the one I shared on October 22nd, broadcast. And her word here is a perfect confirmation of the brethren gathering information for the law, physical and spiritual, to take him down. Hers is a perfect confirmation of this. She said, "I had a very long dream that lasted all night, but then I forgot it. So I asked the Lord to bring it back to my mind because I knew it was important." And he brought back two sections to me that are here, and I'm sharing. Part one, I wasn't me. I was a completely different person and looked completely different from the real me, too. It was as if I was looking through another person's eyes. Anyway, I was a woman who worked as some type of police detective and was meeting with my boss, who was giving me an important assignment. So she was acting as a police detective. The evidence consisted of a high-quality, glossy photograph of a human tongue that had been removed surgically, and it included all the musculature at the base of the tongue. The picture was very detailed, right down to the taste buds, which could be seen. My boss told me we had to find out if it was, quote, a dead man's tongue, unquote, or if it belonged to a living man. Well, it was, this is what I can tell from the rest of the story, is that it was the guilty tongue of the living crime boss who is dead in his sins. Interesting, a dead man's tongue that came from a supposedly living man. But, you know, there are people who are dead in their sin. They're dead while they walk. Psalm 52 and 4. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Hosea 7 and 16. They return, but not to him that is on high. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Friends, people cannot do evil outwardly if they respect God, if they believe in God, who sees everything and repays the evil over and over in the Scriptures. People that do things out of hiding, that is wicked, slandering others, lying about others, deceiving others, they do these things, they know they're doing it. They don't believe God sees and hears and ultimately repays. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now Deb said, now I know in real life that if someone had all that removed from their body, they would definitely be dead. But this was a dream. And I looked closely at the photograph and told my boss, that's a dead man's tongue. Well, wait till you find out who the dead man is, right? But my boss told me that we had to be absolutely certain. Yes, you have to be absolutely certain someone is dead. And twice dead and plucked up by the roots is one of the dreams that we had about Paul. You can't make a judgment of that on your own, but we've had quite a few of those. We had three that he was dead, and one that he was dead and plucked up by the roots. He gave me the photograph, and all different people too. He gave me the photograph and sent me out to do a formal investigation. So he's sending out a UBM member to report on this tongue of the crime boss. See, once again, a UBM brethren have been gathering the evidence of the sins of Paul's tongue and his crime family. And part two. She said, the final part of my investigation, by which time I already had enough evidence that the tongue was a dead man's tongue, somehow had taken me to a rough part of town, into the territory of an underworld crime boss. There it is again. Remember, she never got to hear the crime boss revelation that Bill Steenland had. She sent this to me before she ever got to hear it. An underworld crime boss. He was a very large, very dark, and scary man. And I had been questioning his assistants, because he does have assistants. He hides out. We had a dream, by the way, that he was going to use assistants to do the dirty work so that he could claim some irresponsibility there. Right? I had been questioning his assistants, who were mostly just curious about what I was doing. They had no idea that they were being used. We have been gathering evidence of he and his assistants' crimes, both literal and spiritual. In 2012, we received a dream of Paul's future crimes against the brethren in destroying them with his telephone by a deceitful tongue. That's right. The crime boss, she said, had taken me captive, and they were going to kill me. Excuse me. He had them, that is his assistants, take me captive, and they were going to kill me. Of course, they do this with the lying tongue. That's how they kill people. When you disobey God's word, to sit and listen to slander against someone else without two witnesses, I'm talking about witnesses who saw them do some crime or some rebellion against the word. When you hear accusations that are not crimes, that they have twisted to make them into crimes, or that they have perverted things, and you sit and listen to that, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. He said, don't give them greeting, lest you be a partaker in their evil works. Don't invite them into your house, whether it's into your house by internet, into your house by phone, into your house in any other ways. Don't do this, he said. You'll be a partaker in their evil works. Why? Because they come to impart demons to you and to take you out. This is the way God is separating people from the bride. The beast has only been given to conquer and bring into subjection the rest of the body, just like the Assyrian army did. They were not given to take the bride, and when they tried, they were conquered. Well, the people who have fallen have proven that they are not of the bride. They could be tempted. They could be tested. They are not worthy to be in the coming battle with you and me, saints, because they cannot be trusted to keep your back. They cannot be trusted. They have been taken out because of their own selfish ambitions and idols and the blood on their hands. And we pray, and we know that God has heard our prayers to bring many of these people back. So she was taken captive, but she said, I was so very, very calm and self-possessed. I turned to the boss and said something like, well, since you're planning to kill me, anyway, why don't you let me tell you why I'm here? Well, he was also curious and felt in control of the situation. Of course, his demon makes him feel this self-confidence, but it's about to be short-lived. So he said, okay, and he let me talk. I don't have the specific things I said, but I know it was about how the man who had the dead man's tongue didn't know that he wasn't saved. Do you know that when people give in to these spirits of faction, witchcraft, Jezebel, slander, unforgiveness, that they're not saved? They are not saved. Jesus said in Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, that is, if there ever was a trespass, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now tell me, how can you be saved without forgiveness? Forgiveness is a gift of the blood of the Lamb. But when a person walks in willful disobedience, they have no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. These people have no consciousness of sin. It's been taken away. The word has been taken away. They don't study the word. They don't think about the word. They don't like to talk about the word amongst themselves. The only time they will use it is to deceive you. When a person dies in their sins of unforgiveness and hatred and jealousy, they're not forgiven and they are lost. When a person blasphemes the Holy Spirit, which Jesus explained as attributing the works of God to Beelzebub or the devil, and he said they would not be forgiven. Now, they do, these people, I can tell you two of them who have done this over and over. And that is Paul Rimel and Michael Yager. And they're training other people to do this, to call evil good and good evil. Woe unto him that calls good evil and evil good. Woe unto him that returneth evil for good. In other words, somebody's done you nothing but good. I've done nothing but good to these factious people. Yet, when they had their own idols that they were giving into, their own unforgiveness of other people that they were giving into, God turned them over to these factious spirits. And they've had nothing but hatred to me ever since. This is not new. This has happened all the way through the scriptures. Please go and read. All the way through the scriptures. God has used the factious to crucify his elders, his prophets, his apostles, his man-child types, all through, including Jesus himself. It was the factious people that came against him and hated him. For what reason? Oh, but they charged him with all kinds of things. They must be right. I mean, these were the religious leaders. And look how many of them did this. Well, how many of Joseph's brothers had him thrown into prison? Yeah, right. How many of them was it that rose up against Moses? So you see, over and over in the scriptures, how many of them that rose up against David? Oh, yeah. Boy, I tell you, you can't read hardly two of the Psalms without finding out that factious people rose up against him to destroy him. And so it is today with the man-child ministry around the world. Whoever God is preparing, we will soon see. And it's not hard to see, because right now, before the tribulation period, according to Revelation 12, the dragon is seeking to destroy the man-child. Right now. You think we're on the verge of the tribulation? I'm sure of it. And these last few years have been the dragon seeking to devour the child so he can devour the woman. You remember how Moses spoke up against the Egyptians, which represents the old man, brought judgment upon them. And then he led Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea baptism to put to death the wicked who were chasing them, believe it or not, through the dried up Red Sea. How foolish. Well, it's happening. When you get the other side of the Red Sea, you're beginning the wilderness. That's the tribulation period. I'm telling you, history is coming to pass now. So anyway, he didn't know that he wasn't saved. And none of them know that. None of them know that. Michael Yager came to us and he told us, the Lord told me, this is my last chance when he came to us. This is my last chance, because he had turned away from God too many times. And anyway, she went on to say, he didn't know that he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't do anything about it. Now, this was Paul, okay? I'm going to read on. Previously, in three dreams, we learned that Paul was dead. And in one, he was twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And months back, Paul had received a vision of an axe laid at the root of Michael Yager's tree. The The axe had cut clean through the roots of Michael Yager's tree. And he said that in the hearing of witnesses several times that he was reprobated. That is, Paul said Michael Yager was reprobated. He told many of us that. And he had seen it clearly in a vision before he was taken out by the faction. Not that he wasn't doing sneaky things behind the scenes. He was. But the Lord had planned to take him out. And after Paul came into this state himself, he invited Michael into the latest faction. This same guy he said was reprobated, he invited him into this latest little faction group to teach them how to break God's law and man's law, which Michael has been doing all of his life. He's had a life of crime, and it is fantastic. He came to us a very bitter, angry person. I believe the only reason he came is because God told him, this is your last chance. He confessed all of this. People that worked for him said the same thing. They thought I was crazy taking him on, you know. But he came asking for help, and we were doing our very best to give grace to him. Anyway, going on, she said, by the time I got done with my explanation, we were both weeping and sobbing loudly over the sad state that man was in, and about how neither of us could help him. Why? It was too late. We have received this many times. It was too late for Paul. We're all very sorrowful for this, of course, and I've looked for loopholes like the resurrection of the dry bones, but it doesn't seem to satisfy the word or the dream, so I'm trying to be honest, but I'm also trying to see if there's any possibility for Paul to be saved. Now, here's a shocker. Be careful. Sit down and listen to this. None of the people who had these dreams, and we've got one more to share with you, by the way, knew that we had been instructed by local law enforcement on how to collect evidence of laws broken by the factious. So that's more of a literal aspect. Yes, it is, but and I don't really think that it's all that's necessary here. All that's necessary is God. But let me explain. How did we get in this situation? Again, they didn't know. We've had three dreams so far, or four, where the police were using UBM people to gather evidence of laws broken by the factious. And the FBI had previously instructed us on how to collect evidence of federal harassment laws broken by them. You say, David, why would you be doing this? My same question. And I was never thinking to do this until the Lord gave me two texts. The first one I opened to by grace through faith. And it was a conspiracy to kill the Apostle Paul, which was hatched out by the apostates. And he, in effect, reported them to the authorities. If you remember, his nephew came and he sent for the authorities and reported their conspiracy to kill him. Remember, Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, You seek to kill me. He said, who seeks to kill you? Well, it was them, and he knew it. And I know it. And in effect, he reported them to the authorities. And the second one, which I just happened to open the Bible up and look down on, right after that, was when Paul appealed to Caesar, who was what? The Fed. When a political plot was schemed up against him, he appealed to Caesar. And of course, we also read that he appealed to his Roman citizenship, which is what? The Fed, to escape local persecution. We've been collecting this since Michael Yager broke every law that he could, and he laughed at us when we told him that he was breaking the law, because the Bible says, obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's a commandment of the Lord. And in Romans 13, he tells you he's going to use the law to capture evildoers. Tells you very plainly, he's going to do it. Do I say that this is a law that we must use the law? No, I don't. I wasn't going to do it. I wouldn't have done it unless the Lord told me to. But he had a plan. Okay. That he was breaking the law. He told me I would be in the flesh. That is, Michael Yager told me I would be in the flesh to report him. So I shared the precedent above, and he again scoffed because he didn't put any weight in the scriptures at all. And we later informed Paul, who threatened us by text, that their plot to destroy UBM, he said there would not be a UBM, as one of his little disciples went out and was preaching too, you know. And, of course, he ignored us too. They just didn't believe it. So I reported Yager's thefts of Michael Hare's and Bob's and my own property. I reported his threats against our families, which he made in the front of two witnesses and sometimes three, which he did not know about, by the way. And he has given proof of this by partially fulfilling these threats. You see, when you make a threat, that's against the law. When you fulfill it, that's evidence. By fulfilling these threats and leading other factious people associated with Paul and Paul himself to attack Michael Hare's wife, trying to divide his family. A heinous crime. A wicked crime. Michael Hare one time had gone home, as he does regularly, to his family, spend time with his family, and while he was there, his wife answered the phone, and it was Michael Yager, you know, which she's done before. He always acts so concerned, but he's really just full of hatred, and hatred for Michael Hare and myself. And so he asked of her well-being, which he could care less. And she said she was fine. And, by the way, her husband's right here. Would you like to talk to my husband? Oh, it didn't take but just a few words for him to get off the phone and flee. Because, you see, he wasn't in darkness anymore. Now, his wife is reported, and his daughter's reported, the slander that he slung at Michael Hare. And but when we gave Michael Yager's rap sheet to them about how he'd been in and out of jail all of his life, lying, scamming people, slandering people, etc., etc., to them, they quickly understood what was going on. And, by the way, his wife has now given evidence against them. That is, the people associated with Paul who have called her, who were trained by Michael Yager, who was the only one that had her phone number, and etc. And when he joined them, by the way, is when they started doing that. Can you imagine the evil in people for any reason trying to divide a peaceful family with slander? Can you imagine that? Well, I'm bringing it out in the light today. And you bunch of snakes better be wiggling towards the exit. So I reported Michael Yager's federal prison time of 20 years. 8 years served in Leavenworth for stealing the money from two officers' clubs when his first wife reported him. This is on the internet. You can find that on the internet. No problem. Go right to it. And by the way, he told me a sad story about his stepfather abusing him, using him to fight with other men in bars for his own ego. I'm sure this brought out a very competitive and hateful spirit in Michael. And I always felt sorry for him because of that. I prayed for him because of that, that he would overcome that rejection and anger that was pent up in him. Of course, he lied about that wife, that she was a homosexual, so that he could get her thrown out of the military, but this failed. He was caught, and he was imprisoned for 20 years. Served 8, federal penitentiary. We later reported the suit by his second wife against him for forging her name on, if I remember correctly, it was a $30,000 check that was sent to her, belonged to her. So he forged it and he cashed it for himself. You know, he's never gotten away with any of this stuff, and it would be stupid to think you could. It's just amazing. And to say the things that he says and thinks that he can get away with them, that's just as crazy. He told the judge and me that he didn't have the money. But his third wife told me that he lied to me. This is when he was calling himself a Christian, by the way. That he lied to me and to the judge, and that he did have the money. And exactly what he did, she told me. And he did this while being a professing Christian in our midst. Right. The judge put him in jail the fall before last until he would come up with the money. So when I found out what his third wife told me, that he had lied to me, lied to the judge, I went to the jail. I convinced him that he would stay there until he came up with the money, which is what the judge said. So he gave it back. And after he got out, and he fell out with me later because he couldn't make me fall out with the other brethren that he was angry with, he said to everyone that I stole the $30,000 from him. Can you imagine that? Now, how do you get that perverted? I guess because I talked him into giving up the money he stole, then I stole it from him, right? He had a right to it in his perverted mind. He then tried to cheat his own lawyer. Now, you don't want to try to cheat a lawyer. That's the dumbest thing you can do. He tried to cheat his own lawyer, who he told me was suing him at that time. Don't know what became of that, but I can guarantee he didn't win on that one. And just before this, his ex-business partner sued him. And he asked me what to do about it. He had these suits against him, you know, because he was a nasty character. Because he had done evil to everyone around him. He was a malignant tumor. I counseled him to humble himself to him, which he did, and it appeared that his partner, being a much better person than himself, backed off. Now, this is Paul's newest partner in crime. The only thing that law enforcement is waiting for is our full report, since we're still gathering evidence. Now, I want you to take careful note of this. I'm not saying that I'm going to do anything except obey the Lord by His grace. That's all I'm going to do. I haven't made one step without His will in this. And I fear to do anything else. And honestly, I don't want to get out there on my own. And so, I thank the Lord for that. So I'm not bragging about what I'm going to do with this information. We're just gathering it. If the Lord don't use it for anything but to prove to you how evil these men are, that's good enough for me. I don't care. I've got no ambition one way or the other. Our ambition from the beginning is that normal people who fall out with you just turn around and go the other way. But when they have an ultimate agenda from a demon spirit to destroy you, they stick around and chew on you and chew on you. You don't want anything to do with them. You're not trying to force them into being good or anything like that. They just stick around and throw darts and arrows and so on and so forth. And just like Haman sought to destroy Mordecai, and in order to do that, he was destroying the people of God. Well, Haman set a noose for Mordecai, but he was hung on it himself. And that's exactly what the Father has been showing us for several years now, that those people who have laid a snare will fall into it themselves. Wow. I can see it happening. I'm not forcing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do anything I'm not commanded to do. I've only taken the steps that the Lord said to take. He may never use them. I don't know. He don't need them. He can take out the faction, and he is going to take out the faction. That's the facts. But whether he uses this, I don't know, and I really don't care. Father said in these dreams that he would take him down. And he doesn't need any of this except, like I said, to prove to you how criminal these people are. But I'm listening. And I know Father is going to take no more from these men and their demons and their helpers who are now implicated in the same crimes. And, we collected all that. So if God uses it, fine. If he don't, that's fine too. I'm a very neutral. The Lord has taught me to be neutral. That's the only way I can actually hear from him. If I have my own agenda, I will go and do something. Besides that, I got to tell you, I forgive these people. I love Paul. I love Michael Yarger. I've known them in better times. I've rejoiced to see Michael Yarger in past times make a little progress. He usually fell back because he was judging other people. And he did that. He went through most of our congregation judging people, pointing the finger. Most of them don't even know that he did that. He got angry with them, judged them, and really, there was no foundation in it. He had no grace. He said to me one day, "David, I've had it up to here with your grace." I said, "Michael, everybody needs grace, but you've got to give grace to get grace." So he spoke against the grace of God, and he has never been the same since then. He has received no grace from God. So here is another independent confirmation of Paul's reprobation, just like the one I just shared with you. You know, she grieved that she couldn't do anything for him. And this is from Eve Brast. She said, "Deb sent me her dream of the dead man's tongue. I told her that if I received any interpretation, that I would let her know. Then she emailed me back and said that Belinda thought the dead man was Paul. As soon as I read the name Paul Rimmel, Father brought to my memory a small portion of a dream I had received earlier that morning or the night before on October 27th. I was floating in the spirit above and to the right of David Eales, and there was a completely bald man who was down on his knees, shaking his head slowly back and forth, begging David for his life, or to save him or help him. But David told him, shaking his head very regretfully, with a look of sorrow, quote, "I'm sorry, there is nothing I can do." Does that sound just like that previous dream, or what? "I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do." Truly, if I could save people, I would. But that's not in my authority at all. The Lord, from the foundation of the world, has chosen the righteous. And there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Some of the vessels of dishonor, of course, are used to crucify the vessels of righteousness, much like Judas was. But there was nothing that could be done for Judas. There was nothing that could be done for Absalom. There was nothing that could be done for Korah. There was nothing that could be done for many of the people who came against David all through the Psalms, and the people who crucified Jesus, etc. The man looked very desperate and fearful. He was sweating and tearful. He looked like Paul Rimmel, only he was completely bald. Now, that's a symbol to that in 1 Corinthians 11, which means no submission to the Lord. Your hair is a sign of submission. And his head was larger than normal. Pride, puffed up, pride. And his face was bloated. In other words, being overcome with flesh. And his eyes were bugged out, which I think represents anger, wrath. And I thought to myself in the dream, is that Paul Rimmel? I felt so sorry for him in the dream, but I knew it was too late for him. And then she received this verse, Hebrews 6 and 4. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, the Holy Spirit, and were made partakers, this one here, the heavenly gift is Christ, but were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God. Do you know why this was Michael Yager's last chance? Because he heard the word of God distinctly concerning all of his sins. He heard the penalty distinctly. He met with people who loved him and tried to help him and guide him away from his evil. And he kept turning back to it, kept turning back to it. Some of the people that are in the faction, in the little factious group he's in now, he railed on and judged them for silly things. You taste of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Do you hear it? Do you think it's there for no reason? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. You know, when people willfully choose to do evil, they are crucifying Jesus in themselves. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the Word of God manifested in you. They crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Again, now how can you do that? They're doing it in themselves. The Son of God manifested in them as a growing being is being put to death when they walk after the flesh willfully. And put him to an open shame. Yes, these people who are supposed to reflect Christ, manifest Christ to the world, but show willful evil, deny the Word of God, deny the truth, they are putting Jesus Christ to an open shame. For the land which hath drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them whose sake it is also tilled. Why does God break up our fallow ground? We are God's tilled land, Corinthians says in Greek. We are God's tilled land. He breaks up this flesh in order to plant the seed of His righteousness, of His Word in us, so that it brings forth fruit. If it brings forth fruit, he's saying here, it receiveth blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, you can imagine what thorns and thistles are. They're not friendly towards anything around them. They're destructive. They're porcupine Christians. Don't touch me. I'll wound you. Etc. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it's rejected. Reprobated. Rejected by God. And nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. The word of the Lord cannot come to naught. Believe me, if I could find a way out for these men, I would desire it. And I have. And I keep just going down dead end roads. I don't have any hatred for these men. I have a love for them. I know that I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood here. It's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that they have given over to. I asked for a word about this man in the dream and received Isaiah 36:11. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. And speak not unto us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. And Eve said, in other words, don't speak in the hearing of our brethren's words that would cause them to stumble in their faith for God. Wow, I thought that was good. Sennacherib's general, Rabshakeh, railed against Hezekiah when he was recovered from being sick unto death. And then God smote his evil army. And this is happening with me. I was told and shown, and other people got the same revelation, that I was acting out an end time prophecy, a repetition of history. And I know that God uses me because my name is David, because I believe these things about the man-child ministry and about the dragon and etc. So I know He does that. He's not especially giving credit to me as much as He is using me to act these things out. Well, anyway, the Lord showed me a long time ago I was Hezekiah. Even in this same text, He said, thou shalt die and not live. I received that word. And I said, Lord, that's not according to your word. I'm asking you to give me one that's according to your covenant. And the next verse I put my finger on, thou shalt live and not die. He told me I was Hezekiah. Well, Hezekiah was recovered from his sickness unto death. And God smote this evil army. He said, don't worry. They're not going to come here. I won't let them come into this city, etc., etc. And this is happening with me as an example of a repeat of history to prove that the end of the faction of the second of the Sennacherib scenario is now coming. I'm sure of it. Oh, yes, I know God's slower than we would like Him to be a lot of times, but He knows what He's doing. Amen. Well, let me say this. As I said, when Michael Yager first came to us, God had told him that this was his last chance, meaning reprobation follows. And he told many people this. And I knew why this was. I knew it was because these people had learned to be graceful, to love, to be kind to overlook people's sins, to turn the other cheek. They had learned a lot about this. And he had come to these people, and this made him responsible. He received the word. He received it gracefully. He was taught that treating people with rejection and anger was wrong. We all loved Michael. We wanted his best. We prayed for him and prayed for him. Prayed him through many of these very hard things he went through. But he was made responsible. And he regularly fell into grudges and picked on people to judge them. We would show him the scriptures. He would relent for a while and then go after someone else. The very factious people he is now teaching his ways were once his targets. And he threatened Michael Hare and myself and my wife and his wife and children, etc., etc., very viciously with witnesses. And, you know, towards the end, we told Michael about the dream that we had received that the next victim would be his wife. And we all knew it was going to come from him, because when the husband gets this, he is not happy until the wife gets it too. They can't become one until she gets it too. And of course, if she has any kind of idolatry towards her husband and does not put the Lord first, she's the next one to go. And it happened exactly as we told him over and over. Michael Yager was afraid of failing. Did you hear me? Because he saw previous friends go totally wacky when that demon took them over. And he looked at them. We had dreams about it. That he was afraid that what happened to them was going to happen to him. So he had a fear of the Lord. But still, he came to the place he would not resist his lower nature. He spoke every kind of evil against us who had done him nothing but good and prayed for him. He was only a year and a half old in the Lord, but he was rebuking and commanding elders, totally overcome. You see, what the devil has wanted to do desperately from the beginning of this factious movement is to take over UBM. He's tried it through different elders. A few, the others just made themselves elders. He's tried it through them with selfish ambition, with idols of their own, with sins that they were hiding or tried to hide, but he wouldn't let them hide. He tried this with three different groups, just exactly like that dream there, major groups. There were little people here and there that popped out. So here he was, came to us as a Mormon. That was his past experience when he studied Mormonism in prison. He didn't know much about God, but the more he heard, in the beginning, the more he liked. It's just that he kept indulging in unforgiveness and criticism of others, which God will not permit. He will not permit. You are not the judge. I am not the judge. God is the judge. You must forgive or you are not forgiven. There are people out there listening to me that believe they're Christians, and they are not. Because they have not forgiven. They are not forgiven as per the word of Jesus Christ. So anyway, he has criticized almost everybody here during this time, and I've tried to turn him to grace, as have others. You know, in our morning prayer meetings, he would join our morning prayer meetings, and we would pray for everybody, for any need. And he twisted and he perverted our good intent, good prayers, into every kind of evil that he could, until he wouldn't come to the prayer meetings anymore. And God would put up with it no longer. Listen to what Paul Rimel said about his now good buddy. Michael Yager is a very angry man who needs deliverance. He wrote this, but will not admit it, nor want to receive it. He has resisted the truth through pride and always wanting to be right. Yep, that was him. Paul had him pegged. He has no regard to the Word of God concerning elders and who God appoints to one of the offices of the fivefold ministries. He does not like to submit to anybody. It looks now as if he thinks we're all false ministers because we do not meet his standards. I hate this, but it is time to move on. Michael cursed himself more than once in the meeting that we had. He made his own bed. The axe went forcibly through the roots, is what I saw in the spirit, and it went deep into the ground. This is not good for him. He may draw some, but they will be drawn away by their own lusts. We need to pray for the sheep in this body that they will not be drawn away through feelings or emotions or misunderstandings of God's Word. And I'll say that I was in the meeting when he had that vision of Paul. And his wife was repenting in that meeting, crying out to God for forgiveness because this spirit was seeking to take her over. And she repented to myself, to Michael Hare, to Trish, to other people. She was fighting this thing, but she had an idol, and it was him. She was fighting this thing. She cried out and asked our forgiveness for speaking against us. And Michael rebuked her very loudly. He told her to shut up. And if she couldn't say the truth, to say nothing. Of course, she was crying and repenting. And eventually, he beat up on her verbally until she submitted. And Paul didn't know this when he got this vision, but I received concerning Michael Yager in the morning meeting was Daniel 4 and 14. He cried aloud and said thus, "Hew down the tree and cut off its branches and shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from its branches." Now, God gave this to me about Michael Yager. And then Paul had this vision in that meeting. So, we asked Michael Yager to go his own way and cease from assembling according to the commands of God. He threatened Michael Hare and his family, and me and my family. He stood out in front of our house with the keys, which were belonging to us, by the way, and the remotes for the garage door, which belonged to us, by the way, holding him up in the air, getting in his car, laughing, dancing around, saying, "See you later, girls," calling us Satan, saying, "If I was 10 years younger, I would thrash both of you." And we're just kind of looking at each other with our mouth hanging open, you know. This man was so happy to be evil, more than anybody I've ever seen. Happy to be evil. The Lord had released him from his conscience. He had it no more. Of course, this was kind of hard on the realtor. He had to go and replace all this, but when we told him what happened, and we told him about Michael's history, and he said, well, the best thing to do is don't get it back from him because he would have access anyway, and you wouldn't know if you got all the keys, so we're just going to have to rekey the house and redo the garage doors, which he did. Unexpected expense on the owner and the real estate people. But it was the only way. So this threat against Michael and his family and me and my family, and by the way, he threatened us with the IRS. Hey, let me tell you something. about threatening us with the IRS. That is stupid. That won't happen. We are obeying every law that we know about. And we are an unregistered church, a legal entity. We are untaxable because we don't sell anything. We give everything away, and anything we get is a gift. See, very few people can have the organization that we have because we're doing what Jesus said to do. So we are untaxable. Not that we don't pay taxes. We pay taxes. We would rather pay taxes than have the government in our business. So we pay taxes. But we're untaxable because we don't have an income. I don't have an income. Incomes are when you receive money for work done. We don't do that. We only receive gifts. And we're able to give gifts according to our organizational legal rights. We're able to give gifts to people that serve us as long as they don't fit under the government's category of an employee, which they don't. We've looked at the list. They don't fit the list. We are able to give gifts freely, just as we are freely given to. When people give gifts to UBM, they don't give them to me. Very few people give me gifts. And I don't have my name on any site or anything. You know, I walk by faith. When they give gifts to UBM, it is to support the ministry. It's not just me. It is to support those that need support to do the work that they do. And so we're very grateful for God putting it in people's hearts to support us. And we've been able to do what we need to do, even despite the thieves and the robbers that have come at us from the factious. You'd be shocked to know how many people you thought were righteous that were thieves that stole money from UBM. And etc. You'd be shocked. No, I'm not going to say anything about it right now. But we do have the evidence. At any rate. And I'm not saying I'm going to use it. I am not. I am not going to use anything. I'm not going to do anything without the command of the Lord. I know better. I don't want to get in trouble. I fear the Lord. And I love Him too. I want to please Him. So anyway, His threats against our families in the hearing of witnesses is against federal internet / phone harassment laws. And it's under the FBI's jurisdiction. Blackmail, which we have absolute proof that he indulged in several times, is also in that jurisdiction, and it's also against federal laws. And we had told Michael Yager scripturally that he was no longer welcome in our fellowship, as of course any elder would do. We had a meeting after he left, and the witnesses spoke at the meeting of his many judgments on people, which he still fixated on me, just like the other factious people. You know how many people fell out with one another here because of unforgiveness and criticism and whatever, and they were taken out by those demons, and immediately those demons refocused their attention on me. It didn't matter if I had nothing to do with it. You know why? Because the demons want to take out me and UBM. They are afraid of our materials. Very clearly, the facts. And we're glad that the devil don't like us. As I've said before, a person is known by their enemies. When demon-possessed people don't like you, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Matter of fact, I'm just going to read to you something here out of Luke chapter 6, which he gave me today. Luke 6 and 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Hey, Watch out when people like you. They admire you. The world admires you. Makes a great preacher out of you. Builds a library for you or whatever. Watch out. You're supposed to be hated like Jesus is hated. He said, if they hated me, they will hate you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All of them. You say, David, you got a lot of enemies. Yeah. And I guess I'm just a little bit proud of that. Can you please excuse me? Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. Oh, yeah, I'm bad. I'm bad because I corrected them. And they got angry. Not because I sinned. Because I corrected them and they got angry. They separate you from their company and reproach you and cast out your name as evil. Cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day. Well, you don't feel like rejoicing, but the Lord's trying to get your eyes on a higher purpose here. You don't feel like rejoicing. You hate to lose friends. You hate to see people, you know, be totally turned over to demons. And you pray for them and you love them and you want them back and you just, it's a hard thing. Now, when people hate, it's not a hard thing for them to separate from you. But these people didn't hate me before those demons came in them. They didn't. And cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. And in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Do you know who these people's spiritual fathers are? They're the ones who persecuted the prophets. They're the ones who persecuted David. They're the ones who persecuted Jesus. They're the ones who persecuted Joseph, Moses, etc. They're the ones. Their spiritual seed are the same people doing the same thing today. You know, we are who we act like. Evil is as evil does, I've heard. So anyway, these people, just after they fell away from God, the demons in them fixated them on me and on UBM as their main enemy. It was Satan's war, the dragon's war, against me and against UBM. And Michael Yager, he has a vendetta from the devil to smite the shepherd. The brethren saw for themselves and gave their own witnesses. The whole congregation has seen this rejection and faction and unforgiveness and criticism and judgment on his part. On and off since we've known him. He seemed to not understand that he's wrong to backstab and backbite, even if he has done it to their face, because sometimes he gets so belligerent he just come right up in your face. And you know that it's that same old fighting boy that his stepfather raised up. Competition. Paul was competitive. Paul was very competitive. When he was in the conference, he would turn people away from other people that he was jealous of. He would say, this person's factious, don't talk to them. He did this to more than one person. He did this to several people that he was jealous of. He talked to people and they came and confessed it later, believe me. He told them, don't see this man, don't talk to that man. People that had a gift that he didn't have. He would try to take out the competition. One time we had put up some water tanks up here on the hill because the city water don't come up this high on the mountain. So we'd fill up these tanks and we'd have gravity water feeding back into the house even if the pumps went down, electricity went down, or the water went down. Me and Michael Hare put a lot of work in to put those tanks up there just before Michael Yager left. And, of course, I don't think he paid but about $40 or $50 for the tanks, but we put a lot more into them as far as labor, getting them up on top of the mountain and putting them in and everything. And so he threatened us. He said that if we didn't buy those tanks from him, he would come and shoot holes in them. And, again, more threats and blackmail. Said it in front of witnesses. You know, he can't stay out of jail. And it's because he does dumb stuff that he thinks he's invincible. I don't understand. Yeah? The demons convince him of that. When he was leaving here in anger, because he wanted to, we asked him to stay. We told him we'd leave. He said, "Nope, I'm leaving." We suggested it again. He said, "Nope, I'm leaving." So we said, "Okay." He and his wife had told everybody in the fellowship that the Lord told them that I was supposed to have this house. He told everybody that. And then, after he left in anger, he blamed me for throwing him out of the house, which was crazy. And everybody here knew it, including his wife. And he was angry, and he wouldn't let anybody around him when he loaded up the stuff. He would get angry and he'd talk against them and be belligerent so people would stay away from him so he could steal stuff. And we had a long list of stuff that we gave to the police that he stole. However, we never gave them the completed list and evidence, so they have delayed and delayed. And we really didn't even want to. We were just hoping Michael would quiet down, go away, one day repent, but he hasn't done that. So I'm just open to whatever God wants to do. And I hope you will take this scriptural warning to stay away from factious people and railers. So you'll not be separated from the body as fruitless. Titus 3:10 says, "A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse." You know what refuse means? Does that mean you'll talk to them and listen to them and let them spew words into you? No, it says first you admonish them. If you didn't admonish them, you made a mistake. After a first and second admonition, say, "We're not going there," as one of our brethren recently told one of them. "We're not going there." And then the demon-possessed person came right back at him again. He said, "Didn't I tell you that we're not going there? If you do that, you're going to have to leave." And he said, "It's that serious, huh?" "Yep." So he had to leave. That's the correct way. It says, refuse. That doesn't mean let them in your house by text and read the text that they send you. It's the same thing. It says, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. Did you hear that? Being self-condemned. They're perverted. And they pervert everything they say. They twist and tweak everything. That is the nature of the factious demon. Romans 2:8 says, "But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth," because if you're factious, you will not obey the truth. God knows this spirit. "But obey unrighteousness shall be wrath and indignation." You hear that, you folks out there that have indulged in this? Wrath and indignation is upon you. And by the way, I guess you've noticed it's upon your families too. "No, I haven't sent curses. The devil told you I sent curses to you. But I got to tell you something. Listen to what the Word says. I don't have to send a curse to wicked people. The Lord promised the righteous I will curse them that curse thee. I will bless them that bless thee. I don't have to do that. The Lord promised to do it Himself. That's why you're living under the curse. Your demon has blamed me for it. You've sent your voodoo against me. Romans 16 and 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling. In other words, he said he would send forth his angels and gather out of his kingdom all them that caused stumbling and did iniquity. He's doing it. History is happening. Mark them that cause divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. And these people did learn this. That's why they're responsible. And turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. Their God is their belly. Have you read that? But their own belly, and their by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. See, people think that I'm innocent. I'm not. They can't get me. What? What does it say here? Their smooth and fair speech. This is how they come on. Michael Yager is a slick-tongued, demon-possessed man, and he starts out speaking ever so subtly. I mean, this was reported by Michael's wife. You know, he's so smooth. You know, but when she looked at his record, she realized who this guy was. A slick salesman with evil intent. 1 Corinthians 5 and 11. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator. And by the way, there are some of the nastiest fornicators among the factious. Bisexual fornicators. That claim to be somebody. Claim to be able to judge me for doing nothing but what was right. Yeah. Well, there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Or covetous. I mean, they all coveted a position. And an idolater, you know, their number one idol was themselves. Or a reviler, one who speaks against others, right? Or a drunkard or an extortioner. In other words, using your position to gain from other people. With such a one, know not to eat. Now, he's talking about eating the feast of unleavened bread. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. You know, what's interesting about factious people is you don't have to put them away. They run off angry, and you wonder, what was he angry about? That? Oh my gosh, you know? Yeah. And 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which they received of us. And if any man obeyeth not our word by this epistle, note that man, that you have no company with him, to the end that he may be ashamed. Yes, don't try to comfort the wicked. They need to feel ashamed of their evil. And you should be the one to help them to be ashamed of their evil. God doesn't appreciate it when you don't confess Him before men. He won't confess you before the angels. And 2 John 1 and 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. It doesn't matter that they started out with you, that you were friends with them. He said, those that go onward and don't continue to abide in the Word of God, they do not have God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes unto you and bringeth not this teaching, that is the teaching of the Father and the Son, receive him not into your house. And that doesn't mean you can receive him by phone. It doesn't mean you can receive him by text or by internet. Receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. Why is that? You are supposed to be separated from them. If you greet them and you receive them, you're receiving that spirit that's in them. And that's how you become a partaker in their evil works. And this is what's trapped people. They disobeyed the clear written word of God. Usually because they have their own selfish ambitions, their idols, their spirits of rejection, or whatever. 2 Timothy 3:3. Without natural affection, implacable. You just cannot satisfy them. No way. Slanderers, without self-control. Now, normal people, even normal worldly people, can recognize that these people have no self-control and no interest to control self whatsoever. They're fierce and no lovers of good. You know, when Michael Yager heard my teaching on the 22nd, he jumped in there to defend Paul, his good buddy, and wrote some texts, nasty texts, to our brethren, which we've noted. And he immediately went out to do stinking nasty things. Like, for instance, he went to the owner of my house and slandered me to the owner of my house and told him that we couldn't possibly have put that furnace pipe together, right? He'd better go out and inspect it. Well, what business of that is his, and how does he know such a goofy thing as that? The first thing that the owner knows is that we took much better care of the whole place than he did the whole time he was here. This place, as people have said, has become to look like a Garden of Eden. The blessing of God is upon it. So I invited the real estate guy over to bring his camera and take a picture. And he took a picture and he liked the job we did of installing a wood stove in the place, a wood heater in the place, excuse me. And we just love it because we're already in the woods, you know, and it works very nicely for us. And I had already talked to the owner, gotten his permission to do that. And he gave me instructions, which we obeyed, etc., etc. So, but the owner didn't know about Michael's record. As a liar, as a thief, as a slanderer, he didn't know about all that. And, of course, the real estate man did know about that. So he just took what Michael said with a grain of salt. And he congratulated us for being good to them, and he appreciated our business, and so on and so forth. And we appreciate him. We had a good Bible study while he was here. It was good. And anyway, they're implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, and no lovers of good. In Psalm 101:5, it says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy." No fear of God in that man. He trained one Jezebel to go out and complain against some of the brethren. All of this was retaliation for me telling the truth on the 22nd. And it says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." Hebrews 13:17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that shall give account, that they may do this with joy and not with grief, let me tell you. Michael Hare and Paul Reimel have brought a lot of grief for the evil that they have done. It does not surprise me that God has reprobated them. He said clearly in His Word that He would. It does not surprise me a bit. I don't want it. I don't like it. I want everybody to make it. I've always been that way. This is for eternity, folks. It's for eternity. It's important. You don't get a redo. They're targeting you, saints. In every family that has given in to these factious spirits in people, there is division. There is divorce between husband and wife. No, not to every one of them, but yeah, that's out there too. Division, which is faction between the children and the parents. Unforgiveness, criticism, judgment, etc. The children suddenly get worldly and begin to do things they've never done before. They could have been relatively clean children. We've been grieved to watch this happen to the children of factious people. The kids get in the world. They get into fornication. They get into drinking. I'm telling you the facts that we know here. They get into drinking. They get into drugs. They get into fornication. They get into all the things the factious people do. And their parents act like they don't even know it, or not interested, or don't care that this is happening to them. And they are the ones that brought this into their house. If the wife doesn't give in to the thinking of the husband, she has no peace, so she gets it too. Because how shall two walk together except they be agreed, right? And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals. If a wife or husband loves their spouse more than following God's word, they'll be taken out. If the husband follows Jezebel in order to have peace, he's turned over to the faction by God. Jesus said, a man's enemies will be those of his own house. This is the nature of faction and witchcraft, which is testing God's people in these days. They can't sow these things without reaping them in their own lives. It just doesn't happen. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. You know what He's going to do? He's going to scatter. We've received the word about Him scattering Shechem several times. You know, Shechem was the people that aligned themselves with Abimelech, the beast, to destroy the 70 men-childs of Gideon. And, of course, God raised up evil spirits between the men of Shechem and Abimelech, and they warred until they killed each other off. And we've received that word about dividing Shechem quite a few times. These are the ones who conspired against the man-childs of Gideon. And, you know, these people don't even know that they're overcome with these things. And they feel very self-righteous, with no conscience of the word. If they're delivered, they're humbled and are our brethren again, because it has happened. Praise be to God. And it's going to happen to a lot more. I praise God for the first fruits from among them. And it has made some brethren very humble. Well, we have a book written on Michael Yager of different people's input, evidence, etc., etc. And getting a pretty good-sized book on Paul Reimel, too. And, you know, we're just going to obey God. We're just going to obey God. We're warning you. We're shining the light like He told us to do. We're being obedient. We're just going to obey God. We're not going to say we're going to do anything. We're just going to obey God. Missy Pollock got a warning from God. In a dream, Paul was claiming credit for casting demons out of her and wanting to use this to take some authority over her. Well, you know what? When we cast demons out of people, saints, we didn't do that. God did that, right? Aren't we supposed to understand that? Yeah. And besides, we had to cast demons out of people that Paul put in people, both from our local and from the conferences. So, saints, don't put up with evil. Don't think about evil. Pray against it. Cast it down. You have authority over this. The bride is going to rise up like we saw in Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 13 and break the back of the evil beast that comes against the bride. And a spring shall be opened unto the house of David. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we pray if there's any way possible, Lord, save these men. Save the ignorant people that have been taken out by them. Save them, Lord. Save all of them, Lord. All the coyotes in the deep valley. Lord, send your grace. Send your mercy. Slaughter those demon spirits, Lord, that keep them captive and set the captives free. Remember Isaiah 61, dear Lord, which we know is coming towards us now. That Isaiah 61 anointing on the man-child to set the captives free, to open the prison to them that are bound. Lord, we need you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to come and do your wonderful work again as you have promised. We need you. We love you. We love these people, Lord. We ask for your help. We have shined the light on their evil so that people may see. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing us and delivering us in Jesus' name.